Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Vaschanan. We begin on page 958. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, beginning of the parsha. Vaschanan al Hashem, and I beseeched God. Vaisahi Lemar. And I beseeched, I implored Hashem, Vaisahi Lemar, at that time saying, Hashem Elohim, Hashem, who is the God of all things, Atah Hiloy Salaresis Abdecha, you have begun to show your servant, Eskadlecha, your greatness, Vyasyadcha Chazaka, and your strong hand, Asher Mi'el Bashmaimu Va'aretz, for what power is there like, or what power is there in heaven or in earth, that can do like your actions and your mighty deeds? Ebrana, let me now cross over, Veres Aretz HaTayva, so that I should be able to see the good land, Asher Be'ever HaYarden, that's on the other side of the Jordan River, this good mountain, and the Lebanon, the Lebanon. Vayisaber Hashem bi lamanchem, Hashem became angry at me because of you. V'lo yishama Eloi, and he did not listen to me. Vayemer Hashem Eloi Ravlach, Hashem said to me, Ravlach means too much for you, meaning enough. Al tais hafdabar Eloi oid badavar hazeh, do not continue to speak to me about this matter anymore. Aloi reish hapiska, go up to the top of the cliff, v'sayinecha, and lift your eyes, Yama v'tzafayna v'seymana mizracha, west, north, south, and east, re'ei beinecha, and see it with your eyes, k'loi savar esayardein hazeh, for you shall not cross over this Jordan River. V'tzavis Yeshua v'chaskeo v'amtzeyu, charge Yehoshua, strengthen him, and encourage him, k'yuhu yavar lefnei ha'am hazeh, for he will pass before this nation, v'yan k'loi sam, and he shall give them to inherit, esaras asher tira, the land that you will see. Okay. So Moshe here is davening to Hashem that Hashem should allow him to enter the land of Israel. We know that after the Mei Meriva, after Moshe struck the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, Hashem said to him, you will not go over into the land of Israel. And here we find Moshe is davening. He is beseeching God that Hashem should basically change his mind. Now on the words, Bo'es Hahi, it said the first pasuk read, and I beseeched God, Bo'es Hahi, at that time. At that time, which time? So Rashi tells us, the time is that he began to get to ask Hashem to rescind the decree was after conquering the lands of Sichon and Og. That's the Bo'es Hahi. The Bo'es Hahi at that time means after I conquered the land, basically on the eastern side of the Jordan River, the lands that belonged to the Amorite kings, Sichon and Og, that land, as we know, became the land of 2.5 tribes, Reuven, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. So Moshe says, it was at that time, at which time? At the time of after we conquered the lands of Sichon and Og, that was the time that I started davening. Why? Because Dimisi Shemohutar HaNeder, because I thought, or I considered, that perhaps the vow has been annulled. Now, what Rashi is saying here is that piece of land that they conquered from Sichon and Og, that land, what we would call present-day Jordan, that land, once it was conquered by the Jewish people, became sanctified. It wasn't at the full status of the land of Israel, but it became sanctified. It became part of the land that the Jewish people were now to settle. And if not for the fact that these two tribes, Reuben and Gad, requested to stay there, it actually would have been an area that would have been divided up amongst all 12 tribes. All 12 tribes would have had a portion of that land. Instead, once Reuben and Gad made their request, so now instead of taking their portion in the land of Israel proper, they took it on the other side. But this piece of land, though, was the land that the Jewish people were to settle. And therefore, Moshe says, well, something seemed to be going on. Hashem told him he's not going to bring the Jewish people into the land of Israel. But now he's been given the ability to bring them into part of it, into some kind of part of the land of Israel. And therefore, Moshe says, therefore, Dimisi, I thought that perhaps the neder, the vow, the promise, had been annulled. And therefore, what did he do? Therefore, Voschanan, therefore, he davened to God. Now, let's just stop here for a second and think about this. So, Moshe says, it seemed like something was happening. It seemed like perhaps this oath that God took, not allowing him into the land of Israel, was annulled. And therefore, I prayed. Now, if it was annulled, what does he have to pray for? Right? If there is that possibility, and it doesn't sound like Moshe is saying to Hashem, you know, can you let me know? I mean, it seems Moshe is saying, at this point of time, now I beseech God, let me in. You know, but if the neder is hutar, if this promise that God made is already annulled, what do you need prayer for? So the commentary of Sifsei Chachamim on Rashi explains it in the following way. What you have is, and there are other cases of this also, you have Hashem's edict, Hashem's decree, and then there is, so to speak, a vow that's added to it. Meaning Hashem can make a decree, and then Hashem, so to speak, makes a promise that decree will be kept. As long as the decree has with it the shavua, the oath, the vow, whatever wording you want to use, as long as the decree has that kind of a vow with it, there's nothing to do to rescind it. But if the vow is rescinded, you're still left with a decree, but it's a decree without a vow, and that already is something you can pray for. So therefore, when Moshe saw that he was allowed into the land of, that he was able to conquer the land of Sichon and Og, so he saw the possibility that something was happening, and on that, and if that possibility was true, so the vow may have been gone, but the decree was still there, and therefore Moshe had to daven to rescind the decree. That's how the Sifsei Chachamim explains. But that's what Moshe was doing. Now, there is a very interesting, and basically when Moshe then turns to Hashem and he says, in Pasuk, in the next Pasuk, Hashem Elohim, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand, etc. That means you have begun to show me the beginning of the conquering of the land for the Jewish people. You've begun to show me that. And if that's what you've begun to show me, let me now cross into the land of Israel. There is a, now on the last word in the first Pasuk, the Pasuk reads, V'eschanana Hashem, again, I implored Hashem, V'esahi lemar, at that time, lemar, saying. Now, what does that word saying here mean? It's Moshe talking to Hashem. So what's the lemar? What's the saying or to say? Usually that word means you want to get some kind of response. There's something more going on here. Okay? So, Smedemark. Mark.
No, I just don't understand what the problem is. I'm saying, and then it says what he says after.
Let's say you take out the word saying. What would it have said?
Let me read it.
I implored Hashem at that time.
Period.
Finished. Lamar usually means that there's something, that there's something else going on. And therefore, so Rashi says, what was the lemar? I implored Hashem to say. Rashi says means, I implored Hashem to respond to me. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, lemar means, the Elcha Mishloshim Mekaymais, this is one of three places, Shamar Moshe Lefnei Hamokim, but Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Eini Manichacha Shati Eini Imtasa Shelosim Lav. I need an answer.
Talk to me.
I need an answer. So that's the lemar. I implored Hashem to say, I implored Hashem to respond to me. Meaning I gave him my request, I implored him, and I asked him to give me a response. That's how Rashi learns. There's a very interesting medrash that says that lemar actually means, I implored Hashem to say, means, the way I understand the medrash is, lemar means, to say means, I implored Hashem so that the Jewish people will also learn to say. And that means like this. The Medrash brings down here, let me just read it to you. Right, the Gemara in Brachas. Nope, not that one. Medrash. Ma'u Leimar. What is the word lamer coming to teach us? Amar Rabbi Azariah, the sage Rabbi Azariah said, Loimar, to say, Ladoires, to tell to all generations, Shumispalalin Be'ez Sarah, that in any time of distress that the Jewish people face, Davin. Shere Moshe, Afabishanem Aloy Loisavas Ayarden Hazeh, Moshe Rabbeinu, although he was told you shall not cross over the Jordan River, Hischa Mischanin, he began to implore. So Lamar means, or maybe the Lamar means to say, I implored Hashem, Lamar, I implored Hashem to say, meaning to teach the Jewish people, to say to all generations, you should follow my example, that even when you see a tzara, when you see Hashem has made an evil decree, you should never stop davening just because of that. Because look at Moshe. Moshe had a decree made against him. He can't enter the land of Israel. Veschanan, and he prayed. There is a, I'm not sure if this is a medrash, but there is a comment that the word Veschanan, if you take the numerical value of that word, Veschanan, we know that every letter has a numerical value to it. So Vav is 6, Aleph is 1, that's 7. Tav is 400, 407. Ches is 8, 415. Nun is 50. Nun, and that Nun Sophis, the end Nun is 50, that's 100. 515. Moshe Rabbeinu offered 515 prayers to Hashem to let him come in. Whatever way that this, the way the Torah tells us Moshe Rabbeinu expressed this request, this was, I don't know if it was one of the 515 we have to say, it was 515 ways of expressing this, but whatever it is, there is that comment that Moshe Rabbeinu 515 prayers he offered. So therefore, the Medrash is saying that we should learn from Moshe that, you know, even when things don't look good, you got to pray. Don't give up from praying. Now, when I see this Medrash, it seems that there should be an obvious question. Well, if you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's example, what happened to him? He davened, and didn't work. So, you know, that seems to be a little bit of a discouraging example to use. So, Ramesh Sturbach explains that clearly Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't answered. However, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem said to him, it says, if you look in Pasuk Chavav, by Yisaber Hashem bi lamanchem, Hashem became angry at me, v'lo yishma Eloi, you're going to listen to me, v'yemer Hashem Eloi Ravlach, then Hashem said to me, enough for you, don't continue asking me. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told, stop. Right? That means Moshe Rabbeinu was being told, there's nothing to talk about. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu was told, stop. But if Moshe Sternbach points out, Hashem never tells us to stop. There's no point where Hashem tells us, at this point you stop. And therefore, we take Moshe Rabbeinu's example of no matter what the situation is, we keep davening. And being that we don't have a point where Hashem tells us to stop, then you know what? You don't stop. You keep going. You keep trying. Moshe Rabbeinu clearly had a decree that couldn't be rescinded for whatever reason, which we'll see. We're going to discuss that. I want one explanation for that. But then Moshe Rabbeinu was told stop because Moshe Rabbeinu had to stop because the decree couldn't be rescinded. We, on the other hand, there's nowhere that Hashem tells us to stop davening. And therefore, in our situation, when we find ourselves under a difficult decree, we take Moshe Rabbeinu's example, and we don't say, there's nothing to do, but rather, we implore, and we offer our prayers to Hashem. I'd like to repeat a story that I mentioned on Tisha B'Av. Maybe some of you heard it, but I found it a very beautiful story, and it had a lot to do with, davening. So, the story goes about a certain man, call him Levi. And Levi was seemingly a regular guy, except when it came by davening. When he came to davening, Levi was like in a different world. His concentration in davening was tremendous, and the way he would daven, it was just, he was in a different world. And that's the way he was. Everybody knew that when it came to davening, he was an extra special person. So there was a guest visiting who noticed this man davening the way that he did. And he asked people, like, what's the story? You know, what's the story that this person, again, who really seems to come across like regular, like everybody else, you know, what's the story that he davens the way that he does? Nobody really had an answer. So this guest probably figured, I got nothing to lose. I'm only a guest. And he decided to wait for Laban to finish davening and ask him, you know, what's his story? Why does he daven the way that he does? So by the time Laban finished davening Shema Nesrei, there was no one left in the shul besides him and that guest. And the guest approached him and asked him, what's the story? Where does it come that he davens in such a extra special way? So he answered, it's not for me. It's for my mother. So when I was a little child, like 6 or 7 years old, I grew up in an immaculate house. There was nothing out of order. Everything was perfect. You walked into the house, your shoes had to come off. There was no such thing as taking food out of the kitchen. An immaculate house. One day, young child, my mother calls me into the dining room, and I notice there's a pitcher of water that's sitting on the dining room table, and it's filled to the brim. To the brim. And my mother says to me, Levi, shake the table. So, here's a child born in a very rigid, very immaculate house, and his mother's telling him to push the table. Now he understands, if he pushes the table, the water's going to come spilling out. And if it spills out on the table, on the chairs, on the carpet, so he was, didn't know what to do. His mother said, shake it. So, like an obedient child, he gives it a little shake. Nothing happens. She tells him, come on, shake it hard. What's he supposed to do? So he shakes it. The water starts spilling. She says, shake it again hard. And the water spills more until the water just spills all over the table and all over the chairs and all over the carpet. He starts crying. And his mother says to him, she says, Lady, God is a pitcher full of mercy. And he wants us to give it a shuckle. He wants us to give a good shuckle, a good shake. He wants to see that we want to be close with him. And when we give that good shuckle, all the mercy pours forth. That's how she taught him to daven. But it's just a beautiful way of looking at it. The Rabbeinu Shalom is a pitcher brimming with mercy, and he's waiting for us to give it a shuckle, to give it a good shake, so that the mercy can go pouring forth. Okay, that's the Medrash. Now, as I mentioned to you, Rashi explains that when Moshe was davening to Hashem, and he said, "You have begun to show your servant your greatness," etc. Rashi, in his second interpretation, says that Moshe Rabbeinu's point was, Hashem, you have allowed me to start the process of settling the Jewish people in their land, and let me complete it. The commentary of Sefornu has a very interesting comment here, and it really relates to another comment that he has on Parshas Devarim, in last week's Parsha, and it brings out a very interesting point, a very unique point. So, the Sefornu doesn't explain the Ba'is Hahi. It doesn't say when Moshe says, I beseech God at that time. He doesn't say what time exactly that is. But he says that when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. What does that mean, your greatness and your strong hand? Says the Sefornu, your greatness and your strong hand means, L'shanois teva hanevroyim habilti nefsadim sheyuchal zazu lasecha. Basically, you have shown me how you're able to bring about miracles. You know, nature seems to be something that is unchangeable. And you have done that. Right? Hashem did many miracles, changing the natural order of the world. There is no one else besides you that can do that. Why did you do all this? Why did you do the miracles of the 10 plagues and all the other miracles that took place? Why did you do it? The point was, eventually, to get the Jewish people to the land of Israel. Being that the goal was always to get them into the land of Israel, you definitely should want to do something to make sure that they should be able to remain there. Therefore, Moshe says, Ebrana, let me go over now. To defeat all the inhabitants of Canaan, Let me be the one to conquer all the Canaanites, so that the Jewish people will not go into exile, ever go into exile from the land. And I will see the good land. When Moshe says, and I will see, he means I will look at it in a good way. That means I will bless it. So that the Jewish people should have a good on the land forever. Moshe made his point is, he's making the following argument. The Ribbono Shel Olam, your goal has always been to bring the Jewish people into Canaan, into the land of Israel. Therefore, it should be, we should do what we can do to make sure that they should be able to remain there and to stay there. So therefore, let me go over. If I defeat the Canaanites, the Jewish people will not go into exile. If I'm the one who conquers the land of Israel and build the Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people will not go into exile. And if I bless them, if I bless the Jewish people in the land, if I'm into the land of Israel and I look at it in a positive way and I bless the Jewish people there, they should be able to remain there forever, that's what's going to happen. So I know you said because of what I did wrong before, I can't enter the land, but look, doesn't it make the most sense to give the Jewish people the best chance to remain there without ever having to leave? And Moshe Rabbeinu says basically, you know, speaking truthfully, I'm the one who can do that. If I conquer the land from the Canaanites, if I'm the one who brings the Jewish people in, and I bless the Jewish people in the land, they're not going to go into exile. That's his argument. Don't you want that? The whole goal was to get the Jewish people to the land of Israel. So let's do that in the best way. Moshe Rabbeinu then says, "Vayisaber Hashem b'lamanchem." Hashem became angry at me because of you. Because of you, Hashem didn't accept this. The Jewish people. Now, the Sefernu says why? Moshe Rabbeinu says my intention was to work it out that you should never be exiled from the land. But Hashem already swore to scatter you amongst the nations of the world. When did Hashem decree to scatter them amongst the nations of the world? Where did we see that? Did we see that yet? You know, maybe you know we saw it in the Chukaisai. We saw the possibility of it happening. When do we ever find that Hashem made a promise that the Jewish people are going to be exiled to the point that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm trying to work it out, you should never be exiled, but Hashem says, no, I already made a decree that you're going to be exiled, and therefore, that's not, you can't go in. Now, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu had to do something, you know, first, you know, wrong to have a decree that he's not going to go in. But the fact that his prayers that Hashem doesn't let him pray, the fact that Hashem won't allow him to pray, won't allow his prayers to work, is because my whole goal is to make sure you shouldn't be exiled. And Hashem says, no, I already swore, I already promised, you're going to be exiled. But where did he promise that?
Avram.
What?
To Avram.
Yeah, to Avram.
That was done already.
Noah.
Wait a minute. That was done already.
I think he said to Avram that...
That's Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
That's Mitzrayim. He did that already.
Strangers in a foreign land.
That was Mitzrayim. That was Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
You know, that was Mitzrayim. Okay, you want to start saying more? Was it really? Many Mepharshim say wasn't fulfilled and asked me for later, perhaps. What do you say, Martin? Where? That's not a decree against the Jewish people. That was when it was everybody. But this is about the Jewish people. So, to understand this better, we have to look at the commentary of the Sefernu back in last week's Parsha. In last week's Parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu is revisiting the sin of the spies, and he goes through the whole story, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Let me just read it to you. So, it's after, you know, Hashem heard the Jewish people complaining about going into the land of Israel, they can't work, it's not going to work. So it says, Hashem says that, you know, basically no one from the spies are going to enter the land, no one from this generation is going to enter the land besides for Kalev and Yoshua. Then Moshe says, "Gambiyas anaf Hashem iglalchem lemar." Hashem also became angry at me because of you saying, "Gamatolay savayshem." You also not going to go in. Yoshua ben Nun, Oimed lefanechu yavayshema. Joshua, who stands before you, he will go there. Oisei chazek, strengthen him. Kiyan chilenes Israel, because he will cause the Jewish people to take possession of the land of Israel. Now, the problem here is that Moshe Rabbeinu is mixing in something that has nothing to do with what's going on there. The discussion is Sin of the Meraglim, and the discussion is Hashem's decree that that generation will not enter the land of Israel, the exceptions being Yoshua and Kalev. At that point of time, after the Sin of the Meraglim, was Moshe going to enter the land of Israel? Was An going to enter the land of Israel? They certainly were. They certainly were. Because as far as we know, it's only after the May Meriva, it's only after Moshe hits the rock, that Aaron and Moshe are told they're not about to enter the land of Israel. So as far as we know, as far as what would seem, right, at this point of time, when you're talking about the sin of the spies, at that point of time, that wasn't when Moshe told he's not entering the land of Israel. He was told later. So why is Moshe mentioning, why is he bringing in to this discussion of the Meraglim and the punishment of the Meraglim, what happened to him? And afterwards, Moshe goes back to discussing the spies. Your children that you said will be for spoils for our enemies, and your children that don't know today between good and bad, they're going to come there. To them I will give it, and they will inherit it. So what is going on here? What is going on that Moshe Rabbeinu incorporates his decree with what happened to the Jewish people by the spies? So the Sephornu here in last week's parsha on this pasuk, where Moshe Rabbeinu says Hashem became angry at me. The Sephornu explains Hashem became angry at me in order that we know that the night that the spies came back and the night the Jewish people cried about the report of the spies was Tisha B'Av, and Hashem said Atem bechisem bechia shalchinem, you cried in vain tonight, the first night of the first Tisha B'Av. You cried in vain over the land of Israel because you believed the wrongful report of the spies. I decree I will give you a crying for all generations. In order to make sure that that should be fulfilled, therefore Hashem said, I can't go in. And as Hashem already said, basically, if Hashem says, I'm going to do what I heard you say, like you spoke in my ears, meaning based on what you said, that is what I will do to you. And what is Hashem referring to? What words that he heard the Jewish people say, what is he referring to that they had to be fulfilled through a future crying of the generations? The Jewish people said, our wives, our children will be for spoils to our enemies. Okay, now, when did that happen? If that has to be fulfilled, if the Sephornu is saying that the Jewish people said our children will be as spoils for war, okay, that's what they said. Meaning, when they were talking about how we're going to go into the land of Israel, they're going to overpower us, and then the Canaanites, the enemies, are going to take our children, take our wives and children away, like spoils of war. Did that ever come true? Doesn't seem to have. We know that Hashem says that generation is going to die. The generation died. But that part of what they said, which is Sephornu says, is something very serious. That when Hashem said, what you said, that's what's going to happen. And that doesn't go just on the fact that they didn't want to enter the land. It goes on what they said about that our children and our families will be taken as captives. That Hashem said, what you said, I'm going to fulfill. But when was it fulfilled? The answer is, it's fulfilled. It wasn't fulfilled then. It was fulfilled later. Later on, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and going into Galus, going into exile, that's when it was fulfilled. So that's the whole point here. The whole point here is that the Galus that we go through, the Sephornu says, is the fulfillment of what Hashem said to the Jewish people, what you cried about, I'm going to give you something in the future to cry about. You said that your families will be spoils of war. That's going to be fulfilled. But when? The answer is later on. The destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is going to be fulfilled. And therefore, the Sefornu says, Moshe therefore told about his death together with the story of the Maspies, even though his death didn't happen until 38 years later. And he included in the words of Hashem, in Hashem's decree, he interjected the fact that he's not going to be able to go into the land also. You know why he's not going to be able to go into the land? Because if he goes into the land, they're never going to be exiled.
Right.
And if they're never going to be exiled, then the decree of exile that Hashem gave at the time of the sin of the spies isn't going to be able to be fulfilled. Now, there is a medrash, a famous medrash that says like this. This medrash should give us a little bit more of a deeper insight into this idea. So in Tehillim, and it's Tehillim Ayin Tes, chapter 79, Psalm 79. Mizmar LaAsaf. Asaf was a prophet, right? We know that David HaMelech wrote the Psalms, and some of the Psalms were composed by others. So Asaf was one such person, one such prophet, and Psalm 79 begins Mizmar LaAsaf. The word Mizmar means a song. So this Psalm is a song that Asaf sang. Okay? He composed. Again, through, of course, Ruach HaKadosh. Here's the song. You ready? Elokim bo goyim benachlasecha. God, nations have entered your inheritance. Timu esecha kachecha. They have contaminated your holy sanctuary. Some is Yerushalayim le'iyim. They have made Yerushalayim into desolation. What a nice song. What a great song. Doesn't that like a song? That's not a song.
It's a kina
song. It's not a mizmar. A mizmar means a joyous song. It should be a kina, the Medrash says. It shouldn't say mizmar la'asaf, a song to Asaf. It should say kina la'asaf, a lamentation of Asaf. Why did it say mizmar? So therefore the Medrash says like this, that Asaf was saying that the Jewish people were going to sin. The Beis Hamikdash had to be destroyed. There had to be retribution. There had to be punishment for that, for those sins. Instead, if there was two choices, there was either the Beis Hamikdash gets destroyed,
or
the people get destroyed. It has to be one or the other. And the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam destroyed the Beis Hamikdash means, so to speak, that Hashem took out his anger on the building instead of on the people in the building. And that's how the Jewish people were able to continue. And therefore, it's Mizmar La'asaf. It's a song. Because in actuality, this destruction of the Jewish people, this the enemy entering the Beis HaMikdash, was actually for the good of the Jewish people. It allowed the Jewish people to survive. And therefore, it's Mizmar. Therefore, it's a song. So this Sefornu that's saying that Hashem said that what you said has to be fulfilled. What you said has to be fulfilled. Okay. This was Hashem's plan to make up, to bring rectification for the sins of the Jewish people that caused destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if Moshe Rabbeinu enters the land of Israel and this exile can't take place, then there's trouble. Because if the exile can't take place, or the Jewish people can't be exiled, then and the Beis HaMikdash can't be destroyed, what's going to make up for their sins? What's going to make up for it? And maybe the Moshe Rabbeinu now, by blessing the Jewish people, land of Israel, says that okay, they can't be exiled. But if they can't be exiled, how are things going to be rectified? It can't just go for nothing. It can't just go away without anything. And therefore, that would be a deeper understanding of what's happening here when the Sefornu says that Hashem made a decree that they have to be exiled, and that has to be fulfilled. If Moshe Rabbeinu goes in, it won't be fulfilled. The deeper understanding is that if there can't be a destruction, or there can't be an exile, then the Jewish people are in big trouble. Because how else then is going to be some kind of a punishment, some kind of a rectification for their sins? And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says that Hashem became angry at me because of you. It's because of you, it's for your benefit, that Hashem wouldn't listen to my prayers to allow me into the land of Israel. Because only then would it be possible to fulfill that decree that Hashem said had to be fulfilled, what you said about your families being spoils of war. That had to be fulfilled through the Jewish people later on in generations being exiled. And if Moshe Rabbeinu enters Eretz Yisrael, it can't be fulfilled.